I had walked for many years in this place of complete obedience to the Lord and was experiencing outrageous blessings from the Lord. Day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. It was a place of complete and utter surrender to God. And I was experiencing these massive amount of blessings in the Lord. Then I got into a place of disobedience. I made a decision one day to disobey God on something. Several years later of just living a life that was incredibly difficult, it was not fun. I was still walking with the Lord, but you would not have known me as being the same person. It was no fun. Life was difficult, to say the least. What happened to all that blessing that I was walking in? Life was incredibly difficult. Lots of problems, business falling apart, relationships falling apart, you know, not hearing the voice of God, scripture just not coming alive to me, not getting revelation. Life stunk. And then one day I came to a breaking point, didn't understand what was going on, because you know what happens, you get into that, you get into deception. You don't know what's going on. If you stay in it long enough, you don't know what's going on. You're deceived. That's what happens. Your heart is deceived. And my heart was deceived. And the Lord ended up speaking to me one day. He had to speak very strongly to get my attention. So he spoke to me. I heard him. It was the first time I'd heard him in a couple of years. And I was just elated that I heard him. 15 minutes later, he spoke to me through an unbeliever saying the identical words. An hour and a half later, spoke to me again with the identical words through my brother. I got on my face, just started crying out before God. And I said, God, I know, you know, I just feel like, you know, you don't believe in me anymore. I've messed up so bad and this and that. And then the Lord spoke to me and said, Jeremiah 17:5-8. And that's when he gave me these verses. And the verses say this. Verses 5 and 6 say this. Cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. Right? Now he's not looking at the Lord for his well-being. He's looking to man, whether that's yourself or other people. And he says, he shall be like a shrub in the desert and shall not see when good comes. The Lord will bring good by your way. You don't even see it. You miss it because you're spiritually blind. He shall not see when good comes, but shall dwell in a parched land, in a salt land, which is uninhabited. You get that picture? It's like tumbleweeds in the desert. Tumbleweeds are just rolling around. It's just dry. There's nothing. And you're like, God. Verse 7 starts off saying this. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. Jeremiah 17:5-8. Verse 7 says, blessed is the man or woman who, man means mankind. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, and whose hope is the Lord. Your hope in everything in life is God. For he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, and shall spread out its roots by the river, and will not fear when he comes. She talks about the work environment. Nothing changed. The heat's still there, right? Shall not fear when he comes, but her leaf shall be green. Right? Yeah. So, and will not be anxious in the year of drought when no one else has anything. You're not even anxious. God will provide. Will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. That's the life of a person trusting God. So what the Lord said to me was, Brad, for many years, you lived under verses 7 and 8. Then you slipped out from under that, and you've been living under 5 and 6. He said, come back. Come back under verses 7 and 8. He said, all of mankind lives under one of these two umbrellas. An umbrella of cursing or an umbrella of blessing. Wow, that's a really good word. You can't live under both. Wow. You can't straddle the fence. You may think you're straddling the fence, you are deceived. You're either walking in absolute obedience to the Lord or you're not. You can read the word, you can say, I read the word, I go to church, I'm a Christian. None of that matters. God said, Jesus gave a parable, right? And he talked about the father who has two sons, and he said to the one, go into my field and do such and such. And the first one said, I will not do it. Later had a change of heart and went and did it. The second one said, I'll go, Father, I'll go do it. And then later didn't do it. And Jesus said, which one did the will of my Father? Right? The issue is, are we doing what God says to do? Not are we saying it? Are we giving lip service to it? Do we go to church? We read the Bible? Are we doing it? Are we submitted to authority in this particular case is what we're talking about? Or are we not? The authority is all around you. Everywhere you go, everywhere I go. I come under authority everywhere I go. So, because of the time, I'm not sure what I'm going to do here. Let me just say this. I'll start off with the first slide that I have there, and then I'm just going to jump way ahead and just skip the whole first half of my message. So, I know in bringing up this teaching, it's going to bring up a lot of questions, such as, is obedience to authority unconditional? Is there ever a time when it is correct to question authority? What if the authority is making a bad decision? And I know it. I know it's a bad decision. What do I do in that situation? What if the authority tells me to do something that is clearly wrong? And lastly, what if the authority tells me to do something different from what the Lord told me to do? And I was so glad you had one of those examples, Aaron. What if the authority tells me to do something that's different than what the Lord told me to do? So I just want you to know, I understand these questions are there in your mind, and I intend to answer every single one of them. But I first want to establish the principle of authority and submission, all right? I want to get that principle established first, then I'll deal with the exceptions to it, all right? So I just thought it'd be good that I just say, listen, I understand these questions have to be coming up in your mind, and let me just say this real quick on it. Obedience is not unconditional. There are absolutely exceptions to obedience, and there are many scriptural, you know, precedences for this, that you do not just obey anything and everything that the authority says to do. However, I want you to know, it's not nearly as often as you probably think. It is really very rare. But there are very definitive things that the Word of God teaches that you do not follow this. One is very obvious, and it's really the primary one, and that is if they tell you to do anything that is a direct violation of the Word of God, such that it would lead you into sin, you don't do it. Period. Right? So if you're a husband and wife, and the husband says, hey, honey, let's have an open marriage, right? No, you do not obey that. All right. I mean, that one's obvious, but it is not unconditional. But now listen, I want to tell you this. Submission is unconditional. There is a difference between obedience and submission. I wasn't planning on saying this, but I'll say it anyhow. And then I'm actually going to teach on it at another time when I really want to get into this. You need to understand the difference between these two. Like it says in Romans 13, verse 1, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. No, that's not the one I want. Hebrews 13, 17 says this. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive. Obey and be submissive. They're two different things. Obedience is the act. It's the action that you do, right? Submission is the attitude in which you do it. Submission is unconditional. We are never to leave the attitude of submission. But there are times that you do not obey. Because ultimately, God is your authority. And so if this authority, his delegated authority, is telling you to do something that is a complete contradiction to what God says in his word, you know that you cannot do that. You are not to obey that, because then you would be disobeying God, and you cannot do it. So what you say to your authority is in submission. I'm really sorry. I have to tell you that I cannot do that. I will do everything else you've told me to do, but that one particular thing I can't do because or whatever. You know what I mean? You do it in that attitude. You never leave submission. You understand? You with me on that? Okay. So in other words, you don't say, listen, you big jerk, you can kiss my grits. I am not doing it, right? No, that is not of God. That will never be accepted before God. That is not godly. In submission, you say, I will not follow you in that. I can't follow you in that, right? So that's the difference between obedience and submission. Okay. So now I'm going to jump way ahead. Louis, I'll let you know here where I'm going to go when I figure it out. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. Wow, I really love that worship today, guys. That was awesome. Okay, let me say this. Submission. I told you the submission is like the blood flow in the body. I think it's a great analogy, if I may say so myself, because I really feel like it was from the Lord, because I started thinking about it more. It just ain't everything I look at. I'm like, yeah, it works. That's when it kind of, the analogy is good, when it keeps holding up under different situations. And I was thinking about this idea of submission. That may not make sense unless I say this other part first. So let me just say this. The kingdom of God moves by love, and it functions through submission. Now, I said this last week, but I want to emphasize this again, starting into our teaching today, and that is this. I'm going to make this statement, and I want you to really get this statement, and now I'm going to show you scriptures right now to back it up, which is not what I did last week. Today, I'm going to back it up. I cannot separate God's delegated authority from God's inherent authority. You cannot separate the two. That is a mistake when you or I try and separate God's delegated authority from his, you could say, inherent or his direct authority. God doesn't separate the two. When we do that, we are making a mistake. All right, you just need to know that. That's the statement I want to make. We cannot separate God's direct authority from God's delegated authority. To God, they are one in the same. Now, let's see that in Scripture. And I say that because many today will say, I'm submitted to God, I'll submit to God, but I'm not submitting to this person. You are deceived when you say that. It doesn't work. That's exactly right. It doesn't work. Because it's a violation of the principle of the kingdom. So, look with me at Romans 13, verses 1 and 2. I got to find out where that is on here. Okay, it says, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. The word governing is huperecho. In the Greek, hupo means under, and hooper means over. That's all. It's just under and over. It's the two words for under and over, right? Hoopo is under, hooper is over. This is hooper echo. It means those over you. That's all it means. All right? It's translated many different ways in different versions, but really what it's saying is those that are over you, period. Let every soul be subject to those who are over you. For there is no authority except from God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the delegated authority, right, resists God. Resist the ordinance of God. Same thing. You resist God when you resist that person. And those who resist, look, remember I've talked about the submission. If you're inside of submission, the blessings, you step outside of it. You'll see many different scriptures that say it different ways. Bottom line is trouble. You could use one word to cover them all. Trouble. Those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. So let's look at some examples real quick. Exodus chapter 16. If you have your Bibles, it would be really good for you to see this with your eyeballs. We're going to go through this really fast. I apologize. Just know that all I'm doing is just showing you where the scriptures are. It's really up to you to go home and spend time this week meditating on it, reading it, getting it into you. This will change your life. If you're not already walking in this, it will change your life. Exodus 16, it's really the whole chapter, but I'm just going to grab a couple scriptures real quick to expedite this. Verse 2, do I have that one on? Yeah, I do. Good. The whole congregation of the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. Let me ask you a question. Who did they complain against? Moses and Aaron. Look at verse 8. It says, also Moses said, I'm just jumping ahead, this shall be seen with the Lord. This shall be seen when the Lord gives you meat to eat in the evening and in the morning bread to the full. They were complaining about the lack of food in the wilderness, right? I was just kind of cut all that out. Doesn't really matter what they're complaining about. The principle is the people were complaining against the delegated authority that's over them. They were murmuring against the authority. Why do you do this and why don't you do that? And you should be doing this and you should be doing that, right? They're murmuring. So it says they complained against, you said it yourselves, Moses, right? Now look at this, verse 8. Also Moses said, this shall be seen when the Lord gives you meat in the evening and in the morning bread to full. For the Lord hears your murmurings, which you make against who? Against him. Now, what if I said, you murmur against me, I say, you're murmuring against God. What would you think about me if I said that? Exactly. You are, not only are you a bad leader, now you're super arrogant, right? Whatever. But that's exactly what Moses said. You are murmuring against God. Now, is that because Moses was arrogant? No, it's very simple. Moses understood how this works. When God is going to put you in a place of authority, before he does that, he will put you in a place of crushing. I hate to tell you that. It may sound like really bad news. Welcome to the kingdom of God. God wants to make wine out of you so that you are a beautiful blessing to people. How is wine made? You got to crush the grapes to make the wine. Now, I am a faith preacher. I'm a preacher of faith. I believe in the blessings of God and all that. And so this is one area that will separate me from some faith preachers. Those who really understand the full counsel of God, they would agree with this as well. I mean, that's not even a question. But a lot of people that get off and err in faith, once they start learning faith and how God will bless, they don't understand this other side of the same coin. There is a place of difficulty that God will lead you through to break you. What he's wanting to do is to break you of yourself. Right? R.W. Shambach says it this way, and I love it. It's a powerful message that he has. And he says, you will never be used greatly of the Lord until you get your eye punched out. But he's talking about the letter I, right? It's a play on words. Yeah. When it's I, he says, you're never going to be used greatly of the Lord. You will never be used greatly of the Lord until you get your eye punched out. And that's what the Lord will do. The Lord will give you a vision. He'll show you what he wants to do. He'll even put you into it for a little while. This is a pattern that you'll see throughout Scripture. He'll let you operate in that for a little bit and then take you out into the wilderness, let you get your brains beat out for a while, until you just say, God, I am nothing. He says, exactly. That's what I wanted you to know. Now I can use you. Literally, that's what happens. Then he brings you back and says, okay, now, when I say go left, you go left. And I say go right, you go right. You say, yes, sir. Amen. It's just like a war horse. I was talking to some of the leaders. We were together last night, having an awesome time together. When they train a war horse for war, they work with them first for a long time, and they put them through everything, shooting cannons around them and guns and blowing up hand grenades, and, you know, they work with them with other horses and other animals, and they will not put them out into battle until that horse is broken. That horse has to be at a place where it will not flinch at gunshots and cannons. You cannot be going out to war, and when all hell starts to break loose, your horse takes off. I mean, that's not going to be helpful. You need your horse to be obedient to you, right? To be submissive. Now, let me ask you a question. Is that horse any less powerful? Not one ounce less powerful. Exactly. God is not trying to strip you of greatness or your power, right? He wants to leave you every bit as powerful as he made you to be. But he wants you to be meek in his hands. Meek is a person who's willing, completely surrendered to their authority to do whatever the authority says to do. Willing to do whatever you say to do. A true definition of meekness is teachable. 100% teachable. That's really what meekness means. Teachable. Lord, you say it's raining. All right. It's raining. I say it's raining. Everyone else says, you're an idiot. No, it's raining, man. The Lord says it's raining. I say it's raining. And then you find out later, there's actually precipitation in the air at all times. So really, you're right. It's always raining. It just depends on how much precipitation there is as to whether you can actually see it. But it's raining at all times. Now, you may not have recognized why it's raining, but God says it's raining. You just say it's raining, and he'll make you right every time, right? Because he's never wrong. So just go with him. He says tithe. Well, I say blah, blah, blah. I think blah, blah, blah. Well, it's all right. But if you just do what he says to do, you'll experience blessing because he's right. He says give of what you have, and you'll actually have more. Well, that didn't make any sense. Man, I mean, I understand. I'm a math major. You know, if I have 10 and I give away 4, that means I have less. You know, that's how math works. God says, no, give away and you'll actually have more. So you just do it because he's right. If you're meek, you will follow the Lord. So we have to be broken to be used of the Lord. So if you are not yet, if you haven't learned to be submissive to authority, God's delegated authority, you are deceived if you think that you can be used greatly of God, because he's going to put you in situations constantly where you need to submit when you're under his authority. Basically, to his authority at all times, but then he'll put you in other situations too. So anyhow, I'm trying to say a long message short, and it's kind of hard to do that. So anyhow, Moses understood this principle. That's the point. So he said, you're murmuring against God. I'm just his vessel. That's what Moses was saying. I'm just doing what he says to do. So when you argue with me, you think you're arguing with me. You're not arguing with me. This isn't my idea. I didn't say, hey, I've got a great idea. I'm going to deliver all the people from Egypt. I'm going to go and tell the Pharaoh, the ruler of all the world, to let these people go. That was not Moses' idea. In fact, when God told Moses to do it, Moses was like, see, I can't even talk. And the Lord said, Moses, who made your mouth? Moses still said, but Lord. And the Lord said, get Aaron. All right. And the Lord was angry with him, but he said, get Aaron. Let's go. I got work to do. But yet God, in Moses' defense, God says Moses was the meekest man on earth. So he had to learn it. So anyhow, he says here, the Lord hears your murmurings, which you made against him. And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. Moses was simply teaching the people, you're missing it. You're getting all mad at me. Okay, Let's go to Numbers chapter 12. And go two books to the right. We are going to go over a little bit today. If you have children, I understand if you need to leave, so go ahead and do that. But I really want to get something a little more accomplished here. So in chapter 12, it says here, this is just another story of many of these. Then Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses. This is chapter 12, verse 1. Then Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses. Now listen, here's a really powerful principle I'm about to teach you right here. Remember one of those questions? What if I know what the leader is doing is wrong? All right? This is one of many examples that will answer that question. What do you do? I know the leader's wrong. Then Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. Anyone have any idea what the issue was there? Exactly. You both said two different answers and you're both right. What did you say, Thelma? Exactly. Not only that, not only was she not within their tribe and therefore their religious belief system, there was another problem. Anyone know what it was? What? She was not white. So now, there are some theologians don't agree with this, so I'm not an expert. I'm not going to say I know what I'm talking about, but let me just say this. She's Ethiopian. Well, that's the dissension of two different scholarly thoughts, because the Ethiopians come from, not Cush, I don't think. Is it Cush? Oh, it does say that? Where does it say that? Oh, NIV? Oh, okay. Oh, ESV.
We got two now.
Ooh, a couple strikes against the New King James. You guys, man, you're not coming against me right now. So it is believed by many that the real issue was here is that it was an interracial marriage. And that they did not do that back then. Yeah. So anyhow, I don't really know for sure what the problem was. Let me just say this. It was not something that was accepted. I mean, why would Aaron and Miriam get so ticked off? Do you know who Miriam and Aaron were? His older sister and brother, for one. Number two, she was a prophetess by God's own words. She was a prophetess, and he was what?
Priest.
A priest. A high priest.
Wow.
These were people who truly heard from God. They operated in the power of God, and they were his older brother and sister, and they were ticked off about what he was doing. So let's just know this. Something was not right about what Moses was doing here, either because she was black and he was white, or because she wasn't from the same, you know, religious background, whatever. Let's just say, what if Billy Graham, I'm trying to get someone that would be as respected as Moses was, right? Kind of like someone everyone respects. He is the man of the hour. He's a man of God without question. What if Billy Graham's 80 years old and then decides to marry a 25-year-old girl? What would you say? What would I say? It's something that would be very offensive to a lot of people. That's what's happening here. Whatever the reason is, they were greatly offended. So I just want to step out a little bit and say, it probably was not... I don't know if I should say it was wrong, because I don't know. I'm thinking it probably was wrong, what he did. That these two people who really know God, they know the law, they know what's going on, two of them are saying, that is not right. Now, it may not have been wrong, but it was certainly something way out there, okay? So, you need to understand that. That's why they got mad. And look at God's response. Look at verse 6 through 8. Then he, the Lord, said, hear now my words. Is there a prophet among you? or if there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. And he goes on. And then at the end, he says this. Basically, God is saying, I called him, right? And then the Lord asks this question. Why then, since you know I've called him, why were you not afraid to speak against him? God is asking this question. Are you missing something here called the fear of the Lord? And therein lies the problem with submission and authority. The reason we don't submit to authority is because we lack the fear of the Lord. When you have the fear of the Lord, you tremble at his word. And if he says, submit to authority, you say, yes, sir, because you possess the fear of the Lord. It's when you don't possess the fear of the Lord, you say, I'm challenging this, I'm challenging that, I'm challenging this. And God asked him, why were you not afraid to challenge my delegated authority? I've already told you all authority is from me. So you know that, and yet you're challenging it, which means you're challenging me. Why aren't you afraid to do that? Look at chapter 14. Another example. And it's in verse 1, it says that all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron and the whole congregation. Now, you know, you got to really get the picture. The whole congregation's in agreement, so they must be right. Right? I mean, this is where a lot of people go, too, and their thought is like, man, there's so many people that are against it. I mean, they can't all be wrong. The whole congregation is against them. Verse 4, jumping down to verse 4, it says, so they said to one another, let us select a leader to return to Egypt. But what are they trying to do? They're usurping authority. And you know how they're doing it? They're actually, they're pulling a coup d'etat. Exactly. They are going to say, you know what? You're messed up. You're all messed. We're going to find a new leader to lead us. And they actually took it upon themselves to say, let's find a new leader and let's go back to where it was, where we were before, which is the place of bondage. So look, let's look at how the Lord responds to that. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their face, verse 5, and before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel, jumped down to verse 9, because they said a bunch of things to him. And then they said, only do not rebel against the Lord. They're petitioning the congregation. Don't rebel. Against who? He didn't say don't rebel against me. He said don't rebel against the Lord. Verse 10. And all the congregation said, stone them with stones. So they're not listening. Because you know what? They feel the power of the unity of the whole congregation. Look, we're all together on this. Let's stone them. And in verse 11, do I have that one? Yes. Then the Lord said to Moses, how long will these people reject you, Moses? That's not what he said. What did the Lord say? How long will these people reject me? And how long will they not believe me? He was saying to Aaron at her work, Aaron, believe me. Believe in me. I've got you covered. You're looking at man. You're all worried about what's going on. You're looking at all that they're doing. You're completely forgetting about me. Do you not trust me? Trust me. And she said, yes, Lord, I will trust you. And immediately she gets back into the flow and the blessings of the Lord come. 23, verse 23, he repeats. It makes it very clear again. He says, they certainly shall not see the land. God's telling Moses, they will not see the land. What happens? What's the pattern here? I forgot. I was going to bring out all these patterns of, look, blessing, cursing, blessing, cursing. In submission, blessing. Outside of submission, trouble. Inside of submission, blessing. Outside of submission, trouble. So the Lord says to them in verse 23, they, those who are not submitting, they shall certainly not see the land of which I swore to their fathers, nor shall any of these who rejected me see it. God says very clearly, they rejected me. Even though they didn't say a word against the Lord. They spoke against Moses. God says, they rejected me, therefore they will not see the blessings that I had prepared for them. Chapter 16, I want to strongly encourage you, read that whole chapter. It is heavy. In a nutshell, three leaders, prominent leaders. Now you need to listen to this. Don't feel the strength in numbers or even in prominent people who come against a leadership. People do it all the time. This is why I started bringing up the whole thing about culture. You may have not, I don't know if you still made that connection why I brought up our culture. And I started talking about, you need to understand you're not in a Christian culture any longer. You are in a Christian nation. I should make that clear. I understand we're in a Christian nation. We were founded on Christian principles, no question about it. It is a Christian nation. Our culture has drifted away, and now it's so far removed from where we were, it's not even recognizable as a Christian nation anymore, even though we are a Christian nation. The culture, and the main point, the reason I wanted to bring up the culture is to understand this culture rebels against virtually all authority. It's totally accepted to rebel against authority. So I was simply trying to bring you aware of the fact that do not look at this culture as your example. It will trip you up. You need to reject this culture that we live in and its ideals. You must reject it and instead grab hold of the Word of God and say, it will guide my life, not my culture. Yes.
Just recently, when I've been in a position of doubting my immediate supervisor again,
yeah,
and having trouble submitting to her,
yeah,
the supervisor over her is encouraging me.
Encouraging you in your insubordination. Exactly. That's our culture. You understand? Did you hear what she said? Even in her kind of struggling in her submission to her immediate authority, the one above that person is encouraging her in her insubordination, because that's our culture. Question all authority. It is not God. It is not of God. Period. So God says here they rejected me. So when you step outside of that, you will bring trouble on your life. Chapter 16 is powerful. These three prominent people come up and say these very words. Listen, are you the only one that hears from God? Huh? I hear from God, right? The people were saying to Moses, I hear from God. We all hear from God, Moses. Who made you prince over us? This is something you'll hear a lot as well, right? And so it was not pretty. And then there were 250 people that sided with them, and then the whole congregation sided with them. And Moses said, oh God. And God said, stand back. I'm going to consume them all. And Moses said, oh God, please don't. Will you wipe out a whole congregation because one man sins? And he petitions the Lord. And then the Lord says, all right, tell everybody, get away from these three prominent leaders and all those that are siding with them. Tell them to get away. So Moses said, get away from these guys. They have sinned. And they all got away. And then Moses said, if what happens to these men is anything different than what's natural, then I'm not called of God. But if what happens is something you've never seen before, like perhaps the earth opening up and swallowing them, then just know that this is not of God what they're doing, and that I am in fact called of God. And it says, as he finished the words coming out of his mouth, the earth opened up and they all fell in and swallowed them alive. Then the congregation starts running, a couple million folks, saying, oh, lest the earth open up and consume us too, right? You'd think they'd kind of get the picture. Who's the leader, right? Next day, and the whole congregation came and murmured against Moses. Oh my gosh, are you serious? You know what their complaint was now? You just killed all the leaders. They murmured against him because he just killed all the leaders. And God said, stand back, I'm wiping them all out. And Moses said, no, Lord, please don't. And Lord, and Moses petitioned for them. And then the Lord said, he just started moving on them, started killing them. So Moses, he brought a plague and they start dropping like flies. And Moses said, Aaron, quick, grab a censer, put incense in it, run, petition for them. So he's running with a censer, which represents a sacrifice to the Lord. And the people are falling, and he's trying to get ahead of the people falling like flies. And he finally gets ahead of the dead, and the plague stops right where he was. So that all the people past where he was lived, because Moses interceded through Aaron. But it took 14,000 people fell before he got ahead of them. This is how serious God takes this whole thing about not submitting to authority. I'm just trying to really help us to get a paradigm shift in our thinking and understand where God is with this. This is not what our culture teaches. We cannot be a people of this culture. I love America, don't get me wrong. I love our country. But I'm just not going to walk in the deception that our culture is going down, right? I'm going to enjoy the goodness of our country, and I'm going to stay tight to the Word of God in it. If they all want to go, Jesus said, broad is the way and wide is the path which leads to destruction. And many are they that go thereby. Narrow is the way and difficult is the path that leads to life, and there are few who find it. Let us be of those few who find it, right? The Word of God is the truth. And it's beautiful. Submission is powerful. It's beautiful. It's protective. It's good. What we've been taught for the last 20-some years in this country is a lie from hell. We need to know that. Amen? All right, praise God. Let's take up the tithe and offering. Honor God with this. Father God, we pray your hand upon our finances, Lord, because we submit them to you. I'll just jump down. Verse 8. Nor let us commit sexual immorality as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 fell. Nor let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by the serpents. Nor murmur as some of them also murmured and were destroyed by the destroyer. Look at this last verse. Now, all these things happen to them as what? Examples. And they were written for who? For our admonition. That word admonition means warning. All of that that we just read, it says right here. It is, by the way, 1 Corinthians is in the New Testament. Just saying. Those things were written for our admonition. All right? It's the principle of the kingdom. It's for us right now. Amen. Father God, thank you so much for today. Thank you for your awesome word, which protects us, blesses us, is for us. Father, I pray this seed that just went out today would be blessed of you, protected by your spirit, Father, so that the enemy cannot come and destroy and take that seed out of our hearts. I pray that you would seal it right now by your Holy Spirit, by the blood of Jesus. Father, I lift up everyone at the sound of my voice right now, and I pray your hand upon them, that you would bless them throughout the rest of this week, Father God, that your hand of protection would be upon them. And Lord, these principles of submission, you would show them as they step into various situations throughout the week, Lord, that you would speak to their heart and say, right here, this is where I want you to be submitted to this authority. Right here, walk in submission. Lord, that you would bring it to their attention and begin to teach them these principles of submission, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Love you all. Have a beautiful sunny day, sunny week. In Jesus' name.